Hello and welcome to my latest match pod review for www.mufcglobal.co.uk. We want Glazed Out. They want Glazed Out. Manchester United back in action after a long wait. It's the Monday night ball. United last played, I think, with the first game of last round fixtures, an international break, and now they're playing on a Monday night. They're directly now on this for a little time until the new year. It's a lot of matches on different days. Tonight it's Everton at Old Trafford. A game Manchester United need to get a result in. They dropped. I wouldn't say they've dropped 4 points in the last two for me. The Forest was a good point. That would spend just because of the way it came. Some people say it's a good point. Obviously, it's good to get last equaliser, but they should have seen that game out. And when Spurs were struggling in the second half, they should have gone for them. Arsenal did yesterday. Not saying Manchester United anywhere near as good as Arsenal, but Spurs were struggling in that game against United. They tried to sort of hold on to a 1-0 lead where they should have basically gone on, try to push to get that second goal. And it was quite interesting when it got to 1-1, there was a bit more of attacking. Obviously, Spurs took the lead. Then United got that last-minute equaliser. But some people say they've struggled away. And as my friend messaged me from the four matches that they had in the last run of games, Brighton at home, Liverpool away, Brighton at home, Forest away and Spurs away. Last season we didn't get any points from them, and this season we've got 8 points from them. But that won't mean a lot if they don't push on and get results against teams that they did beat last season. They beat Everton 4-0, and apparently, according to the experts, that was the match that United could really kick on under Ruben Amorim. But I never took that on board. It's a false dawn. These players, when they've had the opportunity to step up, they tend not to do the job. But they're back at home. They've had a good home record this season. Obviously, they lost to Arsenal. Look where Arsenal are in the league. And that was an unfortunate loss, I think. I think, say, if United had got a point in that game, I don't think anybody would have had any complaints. But they've won the four games since then. And they've got to sort of make Old Trafford a bit of a fortress, as a place where teams come there, they don't want to play there, they're put under pressure and they're beaten. It's as simple as that. However, whatever way they try and play, whether they try and play to try and take United on, or if they try and play to, you know, sit back and low block it. So we'll see how that goes. As I say, it's Everton at Old Trafford, the return of David Moyes. I don't think he's ever won at Old Trafford as Everton manager. I think United's last defeat to Everton at home in the Premier League was when David Moyes was manager. I'm trying to think what the left-back's name was, but it's a left-back very late in the piece that won that game. Dennis, who we did arrange for him to speak on this podcast, but he's choked. He's bottled it, and for whatever reason, his plans have changed. He's in Manchester, but his plans have changed, and he's bottled out of it. Maybe it's because Liverpool got beat at the weekend. Disappointing result. I'm not sure what the Leicester score was. I did speak to him yesterday about another issue, about some possible Christmas hijinks. But he had messaged me previously before that a 2-1 win to Everton for tonight. So hopefully that will be wrong. He's actually watching the game somewhere. Well, he messaged me before to say watching the game somewhere in Cholton. But as I say, he could have easily got on the pod beforehand. I could have changed my plan, which was already set to pop round to his for a quick record beforehand. But no, he's not around, so I'm sure there'll be some messages at some point during the game. Well, if Everton are doing well, I'm sure there will be, but it does tend to go mute when United tend to do well. So we shall see what happens in that regard. I mean, however Everton play tonight, they will have dangers up front. Obviously, Jack Grealish on loan from Manchester City. He started off really well for Everton. It sort of tailed off, not massively, but a little bit. But maybe, as I say, he's coming to Old Trafford, rivals of his parent club. So I do expect to see a good performance from him today. Obviously, Ilian Ndiaye, really good player. And he's done really well for Everton this season. The problem they've had is scoring goals and getting that sort of striker through the middle, which United seem to have, to some regard, not solved, but with Mbeumo scoring a number of goals, that has helped Manchester United. Obviously, Sesko's injured now. He's got a knee injury, so he's out. He's out for a few weeks. So, but you do worry about knee injuries. Sometimes it can be a bit longer than a few weeks, but we'll see. Anyway, in regards of United's team news, it's Lamens in goal. It is De Ligt, Yorrow and Shaw as the centre-backs. The three centre-backs, the wide players, it's Dorgu and Mazraoui. The two midfield are Bruno and Casemiro. I mean, as I say, Bruno Fernandes, who has been poor by his standards in the last four games. I'd argue say he's had poor by standards this season. We need him to get back on track. And if he can get back on track, maybe the team will improve. And up front, it's Ahmad, Mbeumo and Xerxes. Cunha apparently has an head injury or had an injury anyway that everybody knew about on Saturday because he was doing the Christmas lights. But then he was pulled out of it. How to give your opponents the fact that one of your players might be injured. It's just, as I say, it's still all about, well, not all about PI at United, but PI is still a massive, massive thing. And Everton shouldn't even be aware of that. They would have known that somebody else would be playing. Xerxes gets his opportunity, so let's see how he gets on. Fancy it will be Mbeumo probably through the middle with Ahmad maybe on the right and then Xerxes on the left. But it does, like when Sesko doesn't play, it is more like a fluid front three, so maybe your three will jump in there and interchange positions. So I'm going to loitering around the not by the Tesco, by the Lidl. I thought I'd give another supermarket a shout out. Yeah, by the Lidl. Just recording this beginning bit. I'll be heading off to the ground. Just a 5-10 minute sort of slow stroll over the way. For those who know the area, but I will be back post-match. And as I say, I'm sure Dennis may have some things to say. As I say, if I get any messages from Dennis, I will plan maybe on saying them on here, depending on what he said. He doesn't like that, but he shouldn't really message me then, should he? Concentrate on the game, Dennis. As I say, you could have had your say, but for whatever reason, you choked. I very much hope Everton do the same today, but it would not be a surprise in the slightest to anybody if United do it. I mean, my friend Adam was messaging around, this is a really good opportunity for United in their next five games, but this is United side that always, don't always let you down, but like when they have that opportunity to push on, they don't manage it, and they've lost points already this season that they should have taken. And, you know, to be fair, I think they're 10th in the table, but the table is really, really tight. So a number of, if you can get a run of wins, that pushes you right up the table. And now they've had that opportunity in the last couple of games. They're not taking it. They take it at least once. But we'll see how they get on tonight. One bonus, they still have a positive goal difference. I think it's since the Brighton game. I think they've had a positive goal difference. Let's see if they can at least keep that going. If they do manage to keep that going, at least they wouldn't have lost. But I want to see it go up from plus one to, well, it would be good to go up to plus five like last season. But we'll see how things pan out. As I say, I'll be back post match. So on the walk back from Old Trafford, a shocking goal. It's Manchester United 10 man Everton 1, and it a deserved result for Everton. And a shocking one from Manchester United. Players not be able to pass the ball. Players not have any idea how to try and score a goal. Everton defence superbly, and as I said, deserve their win. I mean, United didn't score a goal. Everton did. And they scored that goal with 10 men after essentially giving United basically a clearer run to try and win the game. But even when Idrissa Gueye was sent off, which I mean, is it a sending off for me? I don't think it's a sending off because it didn't look like he hit him that hard. I know if that was against a United player, it's different, but it was against his own player. I mean, if that's the reasoning for giving red cards now, then and it's clear to players, then so be it. But I think it was a very, very strange situation. The referee blandished a red card. United given basically a clearer run to get the result, but they hadn't started the game well at all. They started the game poorly. They were trying to pass out from the back, which I don't really understand, because in their last, they'd had a 5-game unbeaten run, remember. I mean, not that meant that much, because as I say, there's no point in drawing away to Spurs and Nottingham Forest, especially when you really should have been taking 4 points out of six looking at the performances, when you come back to a home match against Everton and you do not get the result, and when you're given a fantastic opportunity against 10 men. And you know, I was watching the cricket at the weekend, I was listening to the cricket, it was a shocker for the, if you're an England fan anyway, and there's a fine line between confidence and arrogance, and for me the England cricket team would they were just slightly on, they were on the wrong side of it really in that game against Australia. Manchester United today, they started the game as if they thought, well, we just need to turn up to get a result. You can't even think like that in the Premier League. You've got to make sure that you are actually on your game, no matter what. But then you go down to 10 men, and then even then Everton were essentially the better team, and the goal they got from Dewsbury Hall, no surprise. Bruno Fernandes caught out in midfield. Yoro didn't really get his chance in, and a great finisher. The keeper saved it. I'm not actually seeing it back yet, so I'll have to see that. But it looked to be right in the corner. I'll have a look back on it and see. But an excellent goal from Dewsbury Hall. But that gives Everton something to hold on to. Whereas what you want to do is you want to make, if Everton are going to score, you want to make it difficult for them. I mean, United are already giving away throw-ins and corners, not corners, long throw-ins at that stage by giving the ball away, not being able to pass properly. Just there didn't seem to be any sync whatsoever within the players on that pitch. And it was a case, you go a goal down against 10 men and it was about halfway through the first half. You've still got, I mean, United had well over 70 minutes to score against 10 men. I think it was well over 60 minutes to score at least what, you know, to score at least a goal to get a draw with 11v10. And I mean, Pickford, who actually had a decent game, he made a save towards the end of the first half from Bruno Fernandes. I think that was United. That was United's second shot on target. The first one was a nice little run from Ahmad, and he sort of hit a shot, but it was a simple save for Pickford. Into the second half, Mason Mount came on. Mazraoui was taken off. Ahmad went on to the right-hand side. But Everton was solid. I mean, they were time-wasting, but I don't necessarily have a problem with that. At the end of the day, if this was Manchester United down 10 men, then that's what you're going to do at the end of the day. And the referee, to be fair to him, dealt with the time wasting well. There was the 8 second rule that was used, but United really, if you're up against 10 men, create opportunities to win the game or to at least score a goal. There were a couple of chances for Mason Mount, and a couple of shots that he drifted wide. A brilliant one he set up for Bruno Fernandes, who went to flick it with his right foot when he should have tried to just drill it low with his left foot. A great save from Pickford, from Xerxes, from a cross from the left-hand side, but too many crosses just sort of went straight through the goal. And I mean, I know people will question Xerxes, and you could say that United didn't get the result because it didn't have a strike up there, but at the end of the day, United didn't get the result because they didn't play well enough, and Everton did what they needed to do. As I say, remember, United, it was 11v10 for the majority, for way over 70 odd minutes, way over 60 plus minutes. It was 10v11 with Everton a goal up. And by hook or by crook, you've got to get yourself back into that game. You've got to stretch their defence. There was a lot of times where United were like doing intricate passes on the edge of the box, but they weren't making any progress. Everton just made sure they closed up the space, but it just looked like they had no idea whatsoever about how to break Everton down. Obviously, Everton did go into a low block, and that's fair enough. I mean, why come to Old Trafford and just try and take Man United on? I mean, as I say, before they went down to 11, they were the better team. Before they went down to 10, they were the better team. After they went down to 10, they were always going to sit in. And obviously, they took their one opportunity. I did say when it went to 10, I did say to the people sat around me, I said, I don't trust this team playing against 9 men. And unfortunately, that proved to be correct in the final piece, and an absolutely awful, shocking performance. I mean, yeah, there will be question marks against the manager, because you've got to look at it and think to yourself, you know, We're at home to Everton. We need to get a goal. We're down to 10 men. He only made two substitutes. So there will be question marks there, and sort of the change of the sort of style of play at the start of the match, which was very strange. We should just carried on doing what we were doing before. The players were happy with that. But basically, there's got to be some professional pride on that football pitch. And also what you need as well is leadership. And I mentioned Bruno Fernandes at the start of the game. He is still having, he's having a poor season, and United are being exposed. Now people will say, well, look what he's done previously for the club. That's fine, that's not a problem, but that was before. You're looking into the past. You've got to look into the future. And I've mentioned before, I do think there are some players protecting themselves for the World Cup. So, the performance still should be better. As I say, it was Maynou and Dalot that came on. And one thing that I did notice was Yoro was getting a lot of the ball. Everton were quite happy for Yoro to get a lot of the ball in that sort of right centre-back slot, where you think to yourself, why don't you stick somebody in there that can actually cross the ball? Because he was getting the ball, had time and space, but he's not across with the ball, he's a centre-back. He did change it towards the end where Dalot was in that position, but it was too late at that point. And then Luke Shaw was playing down the left too late at that point, and we didn't really see much of the ball in and around that area. There was a late chance for Xerxes, cross from the right-hand side. I think that might have come from Dalot, but he headed it basically. He needed to head it into the corner, headed it straight. Pickford just did the basics, and then they cleared the corner as they should. But United really, really poor today, and it's an abysmal performance in it. And they need to be better, and I think it's right. I mean, the fans booed, and I think it's right. I'd say I'm not a booer, but the fan, they were boos. There were small few smatterings at half time, but there were a lot more at full time. And You saw United players, Everton players sank to the floor at the end of the game. Fine, they've had to really, really work so hard. But I don't know why United players were sinking to the floor. I mean, they sinking to the floor of embarrassment for that kind of performance in a situation where essentially they were given an even bigger opportunity. But the manager, I saw something that the manager was talking about. The players didn't start the game right. I mean, that was pretty obvious for all to see. But at the end of the day, you've still got 90 minutes. You've got to step up. They had enough time to get back into the game. And it's an embarrassing result. And it basically takes United back to square one. And as I say, I mentioned before, don't rely on these players to step up. As I say, two points in those away matches, people say, great. But you've got to look at the performances in that. And yeah, as I said, my friend Adam, he said 8 points we didn't get last season, but as I mentioned, what's the point if you just lose the 3 points that we got last season against Everton, not being able to step up when it really matters? And as I say, I don't want to hear about, we did miss having probably a central striker in there, but that's part of football. You get injuries, you have to deal with those injuries. Everton had to deal with 70 plus minutes with 10 men because of the stupidity of one of their players. Although, as I say, for me, that's not totally sure, it's a red card, but it's something I didn't know. I mean, yeah, you're not going to smack your own player in the face, that's fine, but it just seemed like a little bit of a slap. And the opportunity for United, an opportunity wasted. And next up is a tricky trip to Palace, but the way the Premier League's going, anything could happen. Nobody thought we'd go to Anfield and get a result. Probably nobody thought we'd maybe go to Spurs at the time of the last four matches, but again, the four round of matches before the international break. But what you've got to look at now is, again, the manager's now under pressure. This is the thing, and you've got to, and it will come down to the manager, because these players, they're quite happy to get a manager sacked. We thought the Grimsby game was bad. I mean, you could say that was players that were that hadn't had any rhythm, hadn't many minutes. This game, there were a lot of players that had a lot of minutes. This is absolutely by far the worst performance of the season, and there needs to be an inquest. But you know what? I don't think the players will say anything or do anything. But the manager, what are the if you put in a performance like that, are there any consequences? We'll see. I think I can pick. I've got a funny feeling he's not going to drop any players that should be dropped for the game against Palace. it's pretty obvious. I mean, probably the one player that I would maybe let off, and he's stick him in and it's in the goal back, because Lemens possibly could get some stick. So, Delitt, was reasonable today, but that's the best you're going to get. That's the best you're going to get, a reasonable performance from one of your team, where the rest just didn't really step up. And as I say, it looks like when Brannon Bumo has an off game, United are nowhere. That's a massive problem, especially as he's off to the African Nations Cup. Dennis has actually phoned while I've been on this, because I've just checked my phone and stuck the data on, and Dennis has got his messages out. He's loving this, but as I say, to be fair to him, he's not the biggest choke and bottler. I mean, if he hadn't choked and bottled it tonight, he'd be able to be on the pod now shouting his head off. But the biggest chokers were Manchester United, the players, the club. The manager as well. As I say, the whole organisation, because it's been an embarrassing night, where you're basically seeing that the football club does have a lot more work to do, and the PR, as they like to talk about, means nothing if you're not getting results on the pitch. So next up is Palace. I'm going out of Linders, early 12 o'clock kickoff. We actually played quite well there last season and probably deserved to win, but just couldn't put our chances away. So it'll be interesting to see. We'll probably need to have Cunha back. As I say, no Sesko for a number of weeks, and as I say, he was a miss today because he could have done with somebody in the middle who had presence and is more of a clinical striker than Xerxes. As I say, feel sorry for Xerxes around the fact that he's had no rhythm. It's his first start of the season. He got through 90 minutes. But will he start against Palace? We'll see. Maybe Cunha will be back. So to be fair, Mason Mount came on and did a reasonable job. But again, you know, relying on Mason Mount, That's a problem in itself. But anyway, as always, thanks for listening. All pods up at www.mufglobal.co.uk, up on various podcast platforms, such as Spotify, Podbean, Listen Notes, PCast, Podchaser. Search MUFC Global on your favourite search engine and it will come up. So, as I say, Crystal Palace up next at Selhurst Park. They won at the weekend at Wolves, so they're ahead of United in the table, but it is a very tight table. But the fact United are playing later than all the majority of the teams for the next number of weeks, that puts pressure on, and these players, when they're put under pressure, we see exactly what they can and basically literally cannot do. So as always, thanks for listening, and I will be back. And Dennis might decide to come back on the pod possibly now and shout from the rooftops, because maybe that's Everton's he loves it when Man United lose, because he absolutely detests them. But today he's got an opportunity, because one of his teams actually beat Manchester United instead of anyone else, because he'll be supporting Crystal Palace at the weekend. There's no doubt of that. So as always, thanks for listening, and we'll be back after the Palace game on Sunday.